Yo, I put it like wow, this that sound. These oaks don't work hard like me, I hope they know by now. Bayo Bear, stand my ground. Throw these money trees, go overseas like Percy Tau. I make sure you stay around, quiet when I'm under loud. No negatives allowed, me positivity took a vow. I always play to win, don't anticipate loss. Mind always in the cloud, my boy, never think about the drop. Never ever ever think about the drop.
Welcome to it, sports fans. It is the MKT show. I'm MKT. And this is a show. This is a show. This is a show. Hope you've had a great week. Whatever you've been doing. Keep doing it, I guess. You know, if you're already doing it, why do I need to tell you to do it? You're already doing the thing. And if it's going terribly, hopefully you can stop doing it. You know, like, you can't just quit your job. Like, if you hate your job, you're gonna have to sort that out. It's not ideal if you hate your job, eh? Because it's such a big part of our lives, you know, like working in the world we live in. No, because it's not just about money, you know. Working is about, like, dignity and structure. Like, you can't just sit at home and loaf around, you know? Unless you work from home. But don't loaf around. Like, you're still working, you know? So, if you hate your job, sorry about it. But, and listen, most people are not in jobs they like, right? Like, I think Instagram makes everyone feel like we can all work remotely and be on a beach, I don't know, in the Maldives, while doing online marketing. Like, no, not everyone can do that. There's only so many of those jobs. You know, most people are in an air-conditioned office working for Samsung or whatever. I don't know. Samsung's just an example of a corporate juggernaut. A multinational. Or I don't even know if that's the right term. Multinational. I imagine that's... I think I've heard that. I'm not a corporate person. So I don't know. I don't know. You know what I've realized? I don't know what most people are doing for a living. Because I realized the other day, I've never ever been for a job interview. I've literally never been for a job interview. I played professional football till I was basically 24 years old, 25 really. Then I went drinking around the world. Then I went and worked in the ski industry. Then I went back to varsity. Then I worked for myself, and last year I worked for a corporate, or for like a small agency, which was a horrendous year. Yeah, I'm not an employable person, but I've never been for a job interview, you know? Like, a lot of my friends work in corporate. It's like, oh, bro, I've just been for my third interview. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, no, it was the third interview. Now I'm going to be interviewed by the board. Now it's the executive team. Now they have to pull my DNA. And, you know, if you're a woman, it's like, hey, do you have fertile eggs? Like, what are we doing? Why does it need to be this much? Like, just do your R&D, do a credit check on the person. They've got the skills. Like, why is that not just one round? Like, what is it that they... these multiple levels of questions. But I don't know. Maybe there's probably HR people out there who can do it better than me. It's like, you know, the thing about corporates, especially like super highly qualified people, like, I work with contracts a lot now. I've spent the last 3 weeks going through contracts. But I told someone who's a very big corporate person now who wants to work together, I said, moving forward, like, this is the last contract like this I'm signing. If we ever work together again, and they were a bit confused, I could see. The contract must be 4 pages. Like, are we trying to catch each other out here? 4 pages. 1 page liability for you, 1 page liability for me, our outs, and then the signing page. Why does it need to be longer than that? I don't need the other bollocks. And pay, get your lawyers who you overpay to just put the important stuff in. Like, I don't need to know your SOPs. But I don't need to know that. Just put the important stuff in, you know, and I'll get my lawyer to look at it. And let's rectify it. And it can be 4 pages. Nothing needs to be 30. I mean, I went through a 31-page contract. What are we doing? 31 pages. Oh, my goodness. So, hope you don't hate your job. Hope you don't hate your job, because I love mine. And I realize I've just done the worst thing in psychology, by the way. Because if you're listening to this and you hate your job, you're like, oh, my goodness. I just want to talk about me. Why are you telling me about your position? You know when people do that? Like, very often, when people are telling you something sad, and then you tell them something happy, it's like, oh, no, you shouldn't do that. Because in their mind, they're just like, is there something wrong with me? I'm already in the pits. Now I'm looking in the mirror of this happy person. Sometimes people just want you to listen. So I shouldn't have told you that I love my job, but I do. So that is what it is. 31 pages. It was actually 32. It's just too much. It's too much. Corporate. Eh? But all the best to you out there, by the way. You've worked hard for your degree. Now you are, you know, middle management. You make too much money to leave, but not enough for where you feel you should be. You're trapped. The corporate trap. Ugh. The trappings of the capitalist world. What a sick world we live in. We've built a golden cage. We've built a golden cage where we are both the prisoner and the prison guard. You know? All right. What are we talking about today? Erik ten Hag. Wow. What an explosive press conference. If you're a Man United fan, I'll talk Erik ten Hag. I'll talk Arsenal, Liverpool, and of course, start off with where I was right, where I was wrong, which I do every single Monday. If you're new to the show, what that is, I'll make some calls, you know what I mean? I'm going to make some calls, predictions. I talk to people all the time about certain things in and around the sports world, mostly football, because that's the sport I watch the most, and it's the most serious sport in the world, followed closely by the NFL. Those are the two leagues I watch. Everything else is complete and utter nonsense. So somebody phoned me, like, I'm a big rugby fan. Pundit at the World Cup final in France. Maybe you heard of it. That was me, by the way. I was wearing an Italian tailored suit with a Mauritian cotton shirt. And they're like, bro, you're watching the rugby. I'm like, what are you talking about? There's no rugby on. The Springboks are only playing in July. And he's like, no. Champions Cup or like URC. I'm like, oh my God. I would genuinely rather give birth through my penis. Genuinely, I would rather be married to Caitlyn Jenner and have to see Kim Kardashian every day and be a part of that whole shambles than watch URC. It is one of the worst things on television. No, thank you. Watching URC. It was URC or Champions Cup or something that the SA teams are in as well. I'm like, oh my goodness. This is terrible. It's not a tournament. No, thank you. Northern Hemisphere rugby, if you know the show, get it out of my face. It is a joke. I did watch a little bit of the Hurricanes this weekend. You know, it was a good game. I forget who the Hurricanes were playing. It was another New Zealand team. Hurricanes, Highlanders, I want to say. Could have been. Wasn't the Crusaders. But a hell of a game. I watched about 50 minutes of that. Nice to watch some rugby on a weekend morning, you know. Because I'm resting up a little bit. These old creaky bones are getting a bit sore. And I'm not running 100 miler at the end of the month. So trying to do some recovery so that I can start gymming next week. In the next 2 weeks, actually, from now. So, trying to rest up and recover my dem bones. Speaking of dem bones, have I got a story for you? One of the most hysterical things that's ever happened to me happened this past weekend. A friend of mine comes up to me and says, "Bro, I nearly hooked up with a 60-year-old. Now, when he first said that, I'm like, yo, 60, like 60. He's like, "Yeah, bro." I'm like, "Okay, cool. Like, whatever." But then I thought, you know, we all think of ourselves as like 18. So if you're really young, I'm 37 years old, about to turn 38 in 2 weeks. I still think of myself, and don't fall into this trap, I still in my mind think I'm like 18. Not because I'm desperate to be young. I love actually being this age. It's the best. But in my mind, I don't see myself as a 38-year-old. Like, I still get shocked when I go to school games and people are like, "Good morning, sir." I'm like, "Huh? Who you talking? Oh, me." You know? Because I forget that I am old now. So he's 31, this guy, and he nearly hooked up with a 60-year-old. So then as we were talking through it, I was like, because in my mind, I'm like, "Oh, why didn't you do it?" And then we had some banter about it, and, you know, he didn't want to get bantered by the mates and blah, blah, blah. But then we were talking about it. I was like, "Listen, bro, you should do it," because he's going, "Oh, my word, she's so old." But I'm like, "Okay, well, you're 31, right? And there's a general term, you know, oh my word, the work people, if you're at work, cover your ears, your sensitive ears. But there's an acronym called MILF, right? That has been used since American Pie. Anyway, Stifler's mum, if you haven't seen it, sorry about it. Sorry that you weren't born in the best year." But in my mind, I said to him, "Okay, listen, bro, you're 31. If the term MILF existed in our time, which it did, and he's a lad's lad, this lady for a 31-year-old is a MILF. Because when you're 18, it's like a 40-year-old, right? A 45-year-old. So what's the difference now?" And then I try to explain it to him, and he tried to counter, like, as I was going. I said, "Bro, think of how old your own mom is, right? Your own mom is somewhere between 60 and 70. So this woman is in the age range, now that you're 31, of your mom. So your MILF range has moved forward." And he didn't quite understand it. And then he tried to say, "Yeah, but she's a grandmother's age." So, but then I knew what was happening in his mind. In his mind, he's going, "Oh, in school, we used to think 60 was old." But if you're 31, 60 is not that old. It's the age of your parents. Like, most people have children between 28 and 30. So this person is a MILF's age for a 31-year-old. But in his mind, he's like, "No, bro, she's 60. I'm like, "Yeah, what the problem is? What the problem is?" So he's feeling a bit conscious about it. He didn't do it. He didn't do anything. But I thought it was hysterical the way he was telling me the story. And then I thought to myself, is that too old? Like, I don't think it's too old. Like, I've never been in a situation where somebody that 52 is the oldest I've been propositioned by, right? And I was much younger, not even now, not even lately. I don't even go to places where 50-year-old single people are, you know? Because, like, I'm 38. Like, a 50-year-old, it's not that much older than me. Like, 12 years. Zlatan Ibrahimovic's wife, I think, is like 12, 13 years older than him. Like, it's not that much once you're above like 35. Like, 35 marrying a 45-year-old, male or female, I've never really understood the difference. But anywho, so I'm like, is 60 too old for a 31-year-old? I don't think so. So I said to him, "Bro, just do it. Like, what's the downside? She's keen. Well, he's not out. He's not out. He's just, I think his worry is he's going to tell the lads, and obviously there's going to, you know, it's going to be a bit of a Wayne Rooney vibe. It was funny when he was telling me, I can't really say some of the things he was saying, but I thought to my, I eventually said to him, bro, just do it. Like, why aren't you doing it? Like, there's no downside. What is the downside outside of, you know, like people finding out and you'll be like, what are you ashamed about? Because if I think back when we were 18, so I grew up in a place where it was quite common for 18-year-olds to be hooking up with 40-year-olds because they were just housewives. And there's just that vibe, right? Where I grew up, it's like an estate and it's well known for this kind of shenanigans. So 18 to 40 is fine, but 30 to 60 isn't. What's the difference? It's literally half both ways, right? Like, 60 is not geriatric anymore by 2024 standards. 60 is not that old. 60 today, 60-year-olds today are like 45-year-olds 15 years ago. 60 today isn't the same as 65 years ago even. Especially people are looking after themselves. And he did say, she's attractive. And I said, what, by 60-year-old standards? He's like, no, she's attractive as a woman. So, I don't know. What do you think? What's the oldest? And I guess you've got to be a guy to answer this one. I don't know for ladies. Like, ladies be cray-cray. Like, 19-year-olds going out with 50-year-olds. There's a different dynamic there, I think. But as a guy, what's the oldest you can go? Like, is there a ceiling for a 31-year-old to go out with a 60-year-old? What are you thinking? Like, if you're listening to this and let's say you're 25 and a 50-year-old propositioned you, have you had that happen to you? MKT Inspires. And did you do it, by the way? Did you do it? Because I think there's some part of it where people fetishize that. And then sometimes it's just like, you know, people go to nightclubs and hook up. Like, sorry to burst your bubble. You know, stuff's happening. Not everybody, this isn't a Disney movie. This is real life, people. People have urges and needs. And, you know, this particular need has to be met, unfortunately. And, of course, there are those people who are much better than me as a person and better than you listening to this, who's just left his or her house on a Sunday, you know, and you've got to go repent in the morning for what you did last night. There are people better than you and me, the person who has to repent on a Sunday, because some people can just keep it locked up. And I say, good for you, you know, good for you. I'm happy for you that urge can be put to one side. You're a much better person than I am. But for those of us who are unable to put that lion in a cage, what's the oldest? What's the oldest? He's 31, she's 60. Should he do it? MKT Inspires. Instagram. Hit me up on Instagram. Let me know your thoughts. I'll let him know. I'll let him know what the peeps are saying. I'll say, listen, even if 100 people get back to me, of the 6,000 people that are going to listen to this, I'll let him know. I'll let him know. 31. He's 31. He was 31. She was 60. Had a boost. Okay, yeah. Do the fandango. He was a poor boy from a poor family. Mercury, huh? Jeez. Freddie Mercury. If you've not read Freddie Mercury's story, outside of Hemingway, he's one of the wildest human beings who's ever lived. He lived. That guy. Sweet. Sweet mother.
Sweet
mother. 6-year-old with a 31-year-old guy. I said he should do it, by the way. To be clear, I'm like, you're living, you are single. What's the downside? His big thing is he doesn't want to get bantered by the boys when they find out, you know? I'm like, bro, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? And usually most of the bands, it's like, oh, bro, I'd like to meet a 60-year-old, probably is what they'd be thinking. Anyway, love to hear your thoughts. What do you think? MKT inspires. Speaking of inspirational, you know, for those who don't know, if you're new to the show, welcome. Like, share, subscribe, bloody blah. You know where to find podcasts. I'm not going to tell you where to find podcasts. Why do people do that? Like, if somebody's listening to a podcast, they know where to find a podcast. So no one's going to be listening to this. It's like, oh, you know what? I was actually looking for onions in aisle 7 and I stumbled across a podcast. Like, if you're listening to this, why do people on podcasts tell people where to find podcasts? Like, you know where to find podcasts if you're listening to this. You are listening to a podcast. This is not like you came across on a channel in South Africa on DSTV or on your Skybox in Europe. You haven't come across and go, oh, sorry, I can't remember what channel this was on. Like, you are listening to a podcast. You're a very deliberate consumer. Very weird. It's weird. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcast. What? People know where to find podcasts. Podcast listeners are not idiots. They're not like, oh, I was watching SABC 3, and then, oh, I'm on, I don't know, channel 307, I think it was. You should watch that show. What's it called? I can't remember. What time's it on? You know, no. Anywho, speaking of inspiration, if you don't know the show, like, I'm a big runner. I'm a big runner. I would consider myself an intermediate level runner. So let me tell you what I mean by that. I probably fall closer to, I'm upper level intermediate. So I've only run 3 marathons, because a marathon's the best way for most people to gauge. So at my peak, 2015, 2016, I could run 30. I've run 30 minute 10Ks twice. And my best marathon is 2 hours 42, which is cooking, you know? It's cooking. It's upper end. It's upper echelon. And it was, by the way, that was in Soweto, which is a very hilly marathon. So I could probably go sub 240. Well, I could have then. I don't have the speed anymore. But anyway, whatever. 242 is my marathon, okay? So I love running. But I don't run road anymore. I've only run 3 road marathons, and I did them just to prove a point to a friend. But I don't enjoy road running, and I'll come back to it when I'm older and I can't climb up mountains. But Gerda Steyn is, you know, she's not just a good runner, and she's got a very cool story. She's an icon. She's a global icon, and she is now certified as the greatest to ever do what she did. 5 times in a row, she's won the Two Oceans. So for those who don't know, Two Oceans Marathon, Ultra Marathon is 56 kilometers. And so if you don't know what an ultra is, it's anything more than 42.2 kilometers. So the standard global World Athletics, or formerly IAAF standard marathon, is 42.2 kilometers. Anything more than 42.2 Ks is called an ultra. So there's another race, though, called the Comrades Marathon. So she's won the Comrades twice, and she's the record holder for both the Comrades and Two Oceans. She broke her own record by 3 minutes this year. She's won the Oceans 5 times in a row. 5 times. It's the biggest prize for a 56K race in the world. It's the race. She's the record holder now for both events, for the premium ultra events in world running. She's now transcended from being a world-class runner to being an icon. That's iconic. Winning five times. Do you know what it is to do anything five times in a row? To be the best in the world 5 years in a row in an environment as competitive as road running. Five times. Eliud Kipchoge has never won Berlin 5 years in a row. Five times. And to be the record holder, and to keep going and break your own record, and go to Comrades and break the record. Because they're two very different races. One is 56Ks, and the other is between 79 and 85, depending on the year and whether it's up and down. She's transcended being a brilliant runner, a great runner. She is now an icon. And, you know, it's part of my challenge with South Africans is we think there's a prize for humility. She is a titan of industry in the history of running. Because the Nogueleva twins, we now know, were part of Russian doping, right? No matter what they say, like, they were doping. Sorry, you were doping. You've been exposed. So I can't count the twins. I don't want to hear it. You were part of state doping. Like, it's out there now. All Russian athletes from 1999 up until 2013 are tainted. Sorry. If Khadra gets caught, we'll call her out. Here's the other thing. She's only 34 years old. Do you know that for marathon and upwards, women in particular only mature and come into their purple patch, their element, at 38. She's 34. I thought Khadra was like 40. She hasn't even entered her prime. She's 34 years old. He's only little. Shout out if you know that reference. She's 34 years old. I find that unbelievable. She's the greatest roadrunner, female roadrunner of all time at the age. Imagine being the greatest of all time at 34 years old. And it's not like being the best at basketball like Michael Jordan or Tom Brady. Only America largely care. Basketball, okay, a little bit more international. And obviously, I love NFL, and I used to love NBA. They're spoiled brats, and I've stopped watching. But running is ubiquitous globally. Everyone runs. Everyone. Everyone plays football. Everyone plays volleyball. Everyone runs. It is one of the most competitive sports in the world. And you know what makes the running thing even more incredible? Is that around the world, largely in Africa, 6 or 7 nations, right? This is your release from poverty. So the competition and the drive from below in order to be the greatest in this, for her to separate herself like this is incredible. So I'm arguing that she is the greatest female runner, road runner of all time. You can argue with your uncle 5 times in a row to be the record holder for both of them. I mean, she broke a Comrades record that I think was, what, 30 years? No, she's just too much. And my thing is, I said on social media, she is no longer just an icon, but she's a great African. You know, in my country, at the moment, there's so little to be proud of. It's the Springboks, it's Discovery, it's Investec, it's Nando's. And then it gets a little bit thin. But she has separated herself from human beings in the history of mankind. Not just today, but all that have come before us. She is an icon. She is a great African. She is the greatest of all time. Gerda Steyn. 34 years old. She's just getting started. She could win, if she stays injury free, by the way, she could win like 12, 13. Even if she doesn't win all of them in a row, she could dominate from now another, she could run another 15 years and dominate. Female ultra runners can go till 45. Courtney Dalwater, for those of you who like trail running, go and look her up. If you haven't listened to her, Joe Rogan, she's very weird. Gerda, thank God, has a personality. Like Courtney's just into her thing, right? Like she's very, yeah, she's just an ultra runner. Like she's not one of these people who are looking, but whatever, we're all different. Courtney Dalwater, animal, by the way, one of the greatest athletes in the history of mankind. Just a beast. Go and check her out if you're into inspirational stuff. But that's the level we're talking. That's where Gerda is. And Courtney's in her 40s now. Late 30s, 40s, I would imagine. Gerda Steyn, a great African. Speaking of athletics, there's a little event called the Olympics coming up next year, and there's been a bit of an uproar. Track athletes, so it's 48 events. Track and field athletes are going to get paid $76,000 for a gold medal. It's the very first time in 128 years at the Olympics, right? In the history of the Olympics, that athletes are going to be paid by the world governing body, which is now, it used to be the IAAF, it's now World Athletics. And there's been a bit of an uproar, right? For those who don't know, part of being an Olympian is amateur. So, like, your country, right? So in our case, SASCOC, can pay you and incentivize you for medals. But there isn't prize money at the Olympics. That will change for the very first time. World Athletics is saying track and field gold medal athletes will get $76,000. The uproar is, okay, it's meant to be amateur. It's the Olympics. Are we taking away from that? Personally, I've always liked the amateur part of it. Because if you're great, right, you're going to make your money on the back end anyway. So now, athletes always tell you, hey, with the risk of injury, what we put in, I need guaranteed money. They don't care about, like, they don't really want pay to play. They want security so that I can go and train and look after my family and not have to worry about money. Fair enough. But part of the romance and allure for me of the Olympics is that it's just about the sport. Because football is no longer like that. Which is why I say there are no life lessons in the English Premier League. When people say those should be role models, sorry, no. Not when you're earning £300,000 a week. We're in a different world now. They don't need to be. It's ideal if they are. There are no life lessons at that level. It's just about winning. There's too much money involved. There is no purity of the sport in the English Premier League. Sorry. But in the Olympics, there is and was. And this is the uproar. The purists are saying, now you're tainting it. By the way, in America, they will pay the silver and bronze medalists as well in 2028. I think it's going to be in Los Angeles. So my thoughts are this. I don't like it. And I like athletes getting paid. I don't like it. Because one of the things that money brings with it is agents. So once people get paid, litigation has to get involved. Agents need lawyers and more bureaucracy in something that's just meant to be about the sport. That's horrible. We've seen how horrible UEFA are for football. Like we've seen that. We've seen how disgusting FIFA. We've seen it. Like, everyone's seen it. It's out there now. Like, Sepp Blatter is a monster. Like, the fact that Qatar owned French football was all because of bureaucrats. It wasn't because of players. It wasn't because of fans. And like, whatever. I'm over it now. But don't let that happen to pole vault and javelin and weightlifting. The sports of the Olympics. And by the way, I love the Olympics. Get surfing and skateboarding the hell out of the Olympics. What are we doing? I don't want some Japanese 13-year-old crying because they didn't land their 1080. Oh my word. That was one of the worst moments of the last Olympics. Like, if you're going to be in the Olympics, don't tell me you're 13. You're an Olympian. If you want to play with the big boys, sorry, I don't grade on a curve in professional sport. Why are you crying? Why? I'm not going to feel sorry for you at the Olympics. You're in the Olympics. You're an Olympian. You're supposed to be at the top of the totem pole for human physical excellence. Sorry. I feel sorry for a single mother of four, not an Olympian. Oh my God, I cannot tell you how much I hated that stupid crying child from Japan in the last, I don't know if you saw it, where he or she fell. It was so stupid and people were like, oh, shame. I'm like, oh my goodness, if that person was 35, you wouldn't feel sorry for them. You'd just go, oh, they're an Olympian and it just didn't work out. Sorry, toughen up. If you're not emotionally strong enough, don't come to the Olympics. Don't be on the biggest stage in the world. Oh my God, I've just been triggered right now. Oh my God, I just feel so triggered about that idiot Japanese child who cried. Why are you crying? I mean, obviously, if you win or lose, you know, fall on your routine, and I get it. But you're a 13-year-old, and now I have to feel sorry for you because you messed up. And boo-hoo, you're a child. No, you're not a child. You're an Olympian. Otherwise, go back to school and do your maths homework and clean your room. Oh my God, I hated that so much. There's nothing... Oh my God. Made me sick. So I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Because it's now tainting the last bastion of sports purity. Which is nice, because it was the last romantic thing, right? The Olympics were the last romantic thing. Like, people aren't getting paid. They just do it for the sport. That's over. Sorry. Everything's about money now. Because now what happens? The track and field guys are going to do it. What do you think the weightlifters are going to say? Rightfully so, right? What do you think the rowers are going to say? So, well, I trained 8 years to get here. I got to put it in. And if I'm trying to lift 200, clean and jerk 230 kilograms, my job's way more dangerous than a woman trying to run 100 meters. Well, hey, what are we doing? That's next. That's coming. And then eventually it's going to become the English Premier League. And more lawyers and more litigation. Like, the great thing about the Olympics, unless you live in my country. And there is an element of bureaucracy. And we need bureaucracy. We need high-level bureaucracy, because otherwise things don't work, because most people are idiots. We need people to organize things and make sure the planes are right and make sure people don't cheat. And, like, we need good systems. We don't need more bureaucrats, though. What we need is better systems. Less people, more systems. This is just going to add more people. That's what I hate about it the most. Like, more money, in the words of, I'm not really into American rap, but, you know, more money, more problems. Shout out Biggie. And I'm not really a Biggie guy. I've never liked American rap, to be completely honest with you. Shock horror. Like, you know, I just had to do it because everyone was listening to in my time. I don't get it. I don't vibe with it. I'm more of a grime guy. Anyway, whatever. So I don't like it. I don't like the Olympic thing. I don't like it. Not one bit. Love to know what you think. Should all Olympic athletes get paid? Because that's how the Olympics... Because the Olympics bring in billions of dollars, by the way. on the back of these athletes. Let's be very clear. So that's what all the athletes are saying. We'd like to get rewarded for the billions you're making off our name. And then the Olympics go, yeah, but we're giving you a platform for Samsung to be able to sponsor you, for Apple to see you, for Coca-Cola to see you and back you if you're the, if you're that guy, if you're that girl. Athletes go, no. I don't want to hear that. We're the stars here. You guys are just a bunch of nerds. So Seb Coe, the great Lord Sebastian Coe, has said, it's a different time now. It's a different time now. I hate it. MKT inspires. Should Olympians get paid? And why? Or why not? Love to hear your thoughts. I love the Olympics, by the way. It has been a dream of mine my whole life to go to the Olympics. And let's see. It's up in the air whether I'm going or not. But I'm pushing. I think I'm going to go. If it, you know what it is? You know what's turned me off? Was having to work with the Olympics. They are so anal. Oh my God. Maybe I'll just go by myself. Like after the Euros, I might as well just stay in Europe. Hang out with my sister for a bit. You know, she lives in gay Paris. Just hang out in Paris for a bit. It's the Olympics are 3 weeks. If I have to go to Paris for 3 weeks, so be it. I'm the hero that Gotham didn't know it needed. It's going to be tough. Someone's got to do it. Someone's got to do it. And I'm willing to be that person. Should Olympians get paid? MKT inspires. MKT at the MKT show. By the way, a few people are emailing me about sponsorship. MKT at the MKT show. And we've got a rate card, but it's strange because we've actually got a double rate card. There's one for audio and one for video, and then there's a bundle package for audio and video. So if you'd like to get involved with the sponsorship, if you are interested, if not, just keep listening to the show. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Keep it moving. It's not your thing is to listen. But if you are interested, it's available. MKT at the MKTshow.com. Is the email address. The email address. All right, as I do every Monday, where I was right, where I was wrong. Oh, man. What a weekend. What a weekend. English Premier League. People hooking up with 60-year-olds. Well, thinking about. What a time to be alive. All right, where I was right, where I was wrong. If you don't know what that is, every Monday, I'll make calls, and then every Monday, I'll tell you which call was right, which call was wrong, where MKT was right, where MKT was wrong. Let's get into it. Where I was right, Man City are winning the league. Everybody else is choked. Pep Guardiola, they just know how to do it. They have the most depth. They've built over 10 years. Man City, 115 charges. Nobody cares. Or they certainly don't. They're going to carry on, keep building that squad. They've spent smartly. They don't spend willy-nilly. It's a very, very organized club. It is an absolute juggernaut right now. The best run sporting institution in the world, I would argue. Man City, they're going to win the league. Where I was wrong, Tiger Woods will never win a major again. It is plus 16 that he shot at the majors as things stand. As I'm recording, it is not over yet, but he's done. Plus 16. 16 over Tiger Woods. And sorry, it's over. I love Tiger Woods. I think he's the greatest athlete of all time. And it's not close. But it's over. I thought Tiger could get to 20 still. Just because he's Tiger. And maybe I idealize it because I love Tiger so much. But again, watching this weekend, it's too difficult. He'll never win again. But Tiger Woods, thank you very much. Keep playing as long as possible. He says, I love golf. Why do you keep doing it, Tiger? You're a billionaire. He says, I love golf. So I was wrong. Tiger will never win again. It is over. Where I was right, Bayern Munich are broken. Leverkusen, for the first time in 125 years, Xabi Alonso has brought the title to Bayer Leverkusen. Bayern Munich, 11 years in a row, they'd won the Bundesliga. It's over. Bayer Leverkusen have accepted that. I was right. Bayern Munich are broken. Sorry, you should be winning the Bundesliga. With your advantage, with your player advantage, playing staff advantage, they're talking about maybe bringing Julian Nagelsmann back. What is going on at this club? Mia San Mia. Get out of here. I was dead right. Bayern Munich broken. Leverkusen. Congratulations. Where I was wrong, Jose Mourinho is still unemployed. I thought when Jose came on the market, there's so many clubs who need a big-time manager to reset the culture, especially in the time of heavy spending. You need somebody who's going to come in and cut those egos down. I was wrong. Jose Mourinho, still unemployed after Roma, let him go. Where I was right, Ollie Watkins, right, should be at a big club. Chelsea, Arsenal, and I think Liverpool made a mistake. I think Man City could even look at him, because I think Erling Haaland after this season, you've seen Erling Haaland, he stays two seasons and he leaves. Ollie Watkins should be the Chelsea option. Forget about Osimhen. Ollie Watkins is the guy. He's 28, he's in his prime, he doesn't get injured, his hold-up play is terrific, and he's an unbelievable finisher. If you're an Arsenal fan, you saw what happened today. Ollie Watkins, sensational. I was dead right. And I've been saying it for a couple of years. I said, I love this guy. Great physicality, good finishing. What more do you want? Great first touch. His movement's unbelievable. He's got a good pace. Good skill. Poor man's Drogba. Arsenal should get Ollie Watkins. Chelsea should be going in for Ollie Watkins. I was dead right. I've been saying it for years. Where I was wrong, Amorim will be the new Liverpool manager. It's been reported that by Plenty Goal in Germany. He says they've already signed the deal. He's denied it, as Amorim. But it's been reported. And listen, these journalists aren't going to report stuff that isn't happening. If they, like these top level tier one journalists, when they report it, it's coming from somewhere. Amorim will be the new man. I said Hansi Flick is the only correct decision. It looks like I was wrong. That is where I was right. That is where I was wrong. Man, English Premier League, huh? The gift that never stops giving. It's the greatest show on earth. It is the greatest show on earth. My word. My word. If you're a Chelsea fan, it's pain right now. United fan, pain right now. Speaking of United fans, Erik ten Hag, Man United drew 2-2 against Bournemouth. Twice having to come from behind. Bruno Fernandes on both occasions. And the concerning thing, I think, for Man United fans is that they are in danger of having the worst season they've ever had in Premier League history. So the worst they've ever had is 58 points. And there are 6 games left, and they're on 50 points. So there's 18 points still to play for. But with the way United are playing, ugh. Do you trust that they are going to get 9 points in the next 6 games? Isn't that insane to be saying about Manchester United? Erik ten Hag, when asked about possibly having a worse season, stormed out of the press conference. He storms out. And I thought, oh no, it's over. They've broken him. Whether it's the media or the players, they've broken him. Because he's usually calm, process, sort of driven, and he's cracked. He's usually in control, right? And that's usually when somebody breaks character, you got to break him, right? He's broken. But the question now is, do Man United, are they going to back him? Because what I saw from Casemiro, Rashford and Bruno against Bournemouth was some of the most embarrassing stuff I've ever seen. Casemiro, but I said this about Casemiro, and people told me I was crazy. I said 60 million for a 31-year-old from a slow league. He was already a cart horse, by the way. But it's fine in Spain when you've got Kroos and Modric. It's fine. But this league, as you saw with Bastian Schweinsteiger, no. No. Casemiro was slow, too slow at 28. No. And look, he doesn't take it seriously anymore. The guy is overweight. You cannot play midfield number 6 or box to box in the English Premier League and be overweight. You just cannot do it. It's never been an option. Not in England. Up front, maybe, you could be late Wayne Rooney, Matt Letizier. Not in the middle. Not today. No way. Like, unless you're Rodri level of technical ability and you're not losing the ball, you cannot be that. Rashford is an embarrassment. What is going on there? Like, listen, I know football contracts. It may very well be in their football contracts, and the agents, this is where agents are important, say my guy has to play 85% of the games in a season. How on earth are you taking Garnacho off? Even though Garnacho had a terrible first half. And leaving Rashford on. What are we doing? I mean, Bruno Fernandes has been... I don't get the Bruno Fernandes thing. I've never understood it. He had a good 18 first months. But I don't get it. He's all over the place. All he tries to do is hit a Hollywood pass every ball. Like, every time he gets the ball, he gives it away. It's got to be a killer pass. It's like, bro, can we put 10 passes together? And you're supposed to be... He's supposed to be what Paul Scholes was. He's supposed to be the metronome. And part of being that position, stay in the middle. It's your job to link attack and defense. This is where Xavi, Paul Scholes, you know, Pirlo, these greats, that's what they did. Frank Lampard, Steven Gerrard. Stay in the middle. Bruno Fernandes is absolutely... He's trying to do everything. Why? Why? You've got Kobbie Mainoo. He's running everywhere. And I know it feels like that matters. Passion is a thing of the 90s. Now we're high level, we're technical, we're tactical. What are we doing? It's at Manchester United. And here's where United are in real problems. They've paid mediocre players big money. How do you get rid of Rashford now? He's on £350,000 a week. Who is going to buy that guy? Who's going to buy Bruno Fernandes? Who's going to buy Casemiro at 32 years old? He'll be by the time it's time to sell him. He's on £300,000 a week at 32 years old. With like 4 years left on his deal. Ugh. And Garnacho liked Goldbridge's tweet. Where Goldbridge was calling out the manager. For basically throwing the youngster under the bus. That's not good. I don't like that. I don't like that Garnacho went and did that. Even if he felt that way. I don't care if you're young. If you're at Man United, don't tell me you're too young. Get a hold of it. Get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of yourself. Because what happens now is you start to replicate the problems of the past. That's what's happening. He's replicating the problems of the past. Where players go outside of the dressing room to address stuff with the media, and then it tears down the locker room. Like, just go and talk to the manager. You're one of the star players. You may feel like he's wronged you. Don't sulk and cry to your girlfriend or wife and whatever. But be part of the change. He's replicating what Sancho did. And people say it's different. It's not. It's not. You can't go and expose your manager in public. You can't do that. At that level, be a man. Go and talk to him face to face. Say, coach, I don't like it. Well, get your agent to phone him. Like these new kids, from what I'm hearing from other professional players and managers, like these new kids, you can't talk to them. So just go to your agent and say, dude, call this guy. I don't like what he did. Tell him that I don't like it. And that happens, by the way. Go and read Jose Mourinho's book. That happens. I don't like it. But I also disagree with taking Garnacho off. He's your best player. He's Man United's best player. And he's X Factor. So I just don't get why he plays Rashford, Casemiro and Bruno. Unless it's in their contract. Like, what do we do? If you're Man United, like, what are we doing? If you're a Man United fan, what are we actually doing? I think it's over. I think they've broken him. The most worrying thing, if you're a Man United fan, though, is what the hell are we talking about Gareth Southgate for? Reports are Ineos are considering Gareth Southgate to replace him. If you get Gareth Southgate, it's going to be worse than David Moyes, which may set Man United back another 15 years. Because I think a lot of people presume we're Man United, we'll just come back. Have I got news for you? That's what Liverpool thought in 1995. They now have one title in 30 years. Arsenal have one title in 20 years. They haven't won a title in 20 years. It's going to be 21 now. Man United are a decade. It's going to be 11 years removed. It's already 11 years removed. It's going to be 12 years removed next year. You're on your way to becoming Liverpool. Don't just presume because you're Man United you're going to come back. You cannot, when Hansi Flick, Jose Mourinho, Julian Nagelsmann, Amorim are out there, go and get Gareth Southgate. He's a relegation manager, literally. Middlesbrough, relegated. I mean, the fact that he can't win Euros with this England squad. He can't win anything. The last Euros tournament was like a home tournament. Unfreaking believable. It's over. If you get Southgate, it's over and the cycle starts again. And I think it's going to be Man United another 15 years. Because in 2 years, it's going to be clear. We're going to be back here where the players have thrown the manager under the bus. Remember when Roy Keane said it and everybody hated Roy Keane? He said, these players will throw a manager under the bus. He said, I've seen it before. And it's exactly the same thing. 18-month cycle. And here we are with Erik ten Hag. So I don't know. Like, get rid of the players. Rashford is rubbish. Like, he is rubbish. I'm sorry. He should be at Everton. He's like Alex Iwobi. Like, he's not good enough to be at Man United. Stop telling me about Manchester born and bred. That's over. Your greatest player is a Portuguese guy. Like, stop romanticizing the idea of finding Steven Gerrard. Like, those players are impossible to find. Impossible. Like, if you're a Liverpool fan, you now realize Trent Alexander-Arnold, he's a bit of a luxury player. And he gets away with it because he's from Liverpool. But that nonsense doesn't work. That doesn't work. It's so rare to find Paolo Maldini. It's too many good footballers from around the world now to romanticize it. Get rid of Rashford. Like, you cannot have... That's becoming cancerous, actually, because he's sulking all the time. And there's nothing worse than the guy you pay the most being a spoiled brat. Because that sets the temperature for everyone else. Because Garnacho sees that and he goes, oh, I can be a spoiled brat and get paid. You got to get Rashford out. Like, that's the biggest cancer at Man United. You can't have that. You can't have sulking as your star player. And he's not very good. Like, I don't mind if you, Cristiano, it's a production tolerance world. Tolerance will never exceed production, though. So if Marcus Rashford is going to sulk, okay, fine. But then get me 40 goals a season. Ronaldo could strop and be a headache, and Gareth Bale could play golf, but they both got you 35 goals a season and 20 assists. You put up with that. Production versus tolerance. Marcus Rashford is in the red. I'm sorry, he's just not good enough. What are people waiting for? He's 27 years old. He's not a youngster anymore. Remember when Jesse Lingard was 28, people say he's like an up and coming youngster. Guys, he should be, Marcus Rashford should have hit his straps 2-3 seasons ago. He's got the worst decision making I've ever seen. And all he does is cut inside and shoot. And also, can he stop shooting from tight angles? Rasmus Højlund is such a good striker, positions himself perfectly, but no one ever crosses him. Do you know, Rasmus Højlund has had one shot in 4 matches at Man United. What are we talking about? It's because Rashford and Bruno don't pass. The only passes Bruno Fernandes does is Hollywood from like 60 yards. And then Rashford, you know what's most worrying about Rashford? Is that his decision-making is actually worse than his technical play, which is horrendous. His only thing is cut inside and shoot. But then on the odd occasion, it almost feels like when he isn't running down blind alleys, because that's his biggest trick, it almost feels like he's passing it because his skill hasn't worked. So he's actually forcing the pass, which means by that time the pass is closed down. So it's almost like, oh man, it didn't work out. I can't be selfish. And I'm getting exposed now because I've got one trick, cut inside and shoot. They know exactly what I'm doing. And then it's awkward. So I think it's over for Ten Hag. And the players have won again. Very sad. Hysterical if you're a non-Man United fan. Like, if you're not a Man United fan like me, hilarious. LOL. LOL. Finish off on this quick. Arsenal-Liverpool. They've choked. It's hysterical. Liverpool lost 1-0 to Crystal Palace at home, and Arsenal lost 2-0 to a brilliant Aston Villa. Villa were brilliant. Here are the standings as we look at the table now. After 32 games, Man City have 73 points. Arsenal and Liverpool have 71 points. 73 points for Man City, 71 for Arsenal and Liverpool. And with Liverpool losing earlier, Arsenal should have taken advantage. They didn't. Problems now. So both those clubs, 2 points behind. Arsenal looked absolutely shattered. And this is part of the maturation process that you've got to be patient through. You're not playing Europa League now. You're in the big boy leagues. So one thing these youngsters had to learn was when you play Bayern Munich, you're going to chase. And when that happens 3 days before an Aston Villa game, young players aren't, because it's not just the physical, they're fit enough. It's the emotional tax of playing Bayern Munich. There's an emotional tax to playing that level team. They're human beings. They build it up. They know it matters. It matters a little bit more to the fans. So the Champions League takes a little more out of you. Not just physically, because you're playing better teams and you're not going to have the ball as much, but emotionally, Arsenal looked shattered. That 2-2 against Bayern Munich, they probably haven't had a game that difficult where they were the underdog. I mean, outside of City, and even City, they played really well again. Remember, they defended. They played 10 men at the back, Arsenal. They called it a masterclass, but when it's Mourinho, whatever. But they looked shattered. Bayern broke them. Because it's big boy league. And then you've got to go big boy league on the weekend again. And there's a maturation process that Arsenal players have to go through. You can't cheat the system. Bukayo Saka's never done this. You must remember, this is Saka's like first season in the Champions League, by the way. Isn't that hysterical? That's hysterical. But he'll have to go through and learn that Cristiano Ronaldo, and this is the difference between good and great, by the way. If Saka wants to be great, you've got to be able to play 3 times a week. Foden's doing it and producing. Grealish has done it. Do you want to be that guy? To be that guy, not a guy. Because I like Saka. He's proper. But if he wants to be that guy, you want to go to that level, you've got to be able to play 3 times a week. Declan Rice, you're learning now. This is not Conference League, mate. Goretzka is not interested. Declan Rice is a big deal in his own mind. Goretzka's saying, I'm that guy. Kimmich is saying, we those guys. You'll chase us. And Declan Rice is learning that there's another level. Just because you're at Arsenal, things are going well. Nobody cares about your feel-good story. Musiala is going to dominate you. Leroy Sané, these are guys. Davies, Alphonse Davies, they're going to dominate you. They don't see Arsenal as a threat. And that often doesn't happen. Remember, that's also very taxing. Because you're used to being the man there. Bayern Munich said, hold on now. Arsenal looked shattered. Listen, the other problem for Liverpool is they've got no depth. I think it's been a miracle that Jurgen's even made them competitive. They're out of energy. As Jurgen said, they're out of energy. It's over. Service could over, right? Liverpool are done. Like, can't be losing at home to Palace. It's over. But they look finished. That Atalanta loss, they lost 3-0, by the way, in the Europa League, at home, at Anfield. It's over. Mo Salah doesn't look fit. He doesn't look fit. It's over. They've choked, but this is what happens. I said to people, Arsenal need a striker, and today you saw the chance they missed. Trossard's one in particular. Those are the moments. That's where you need Alvarez. That's where you need Erling Haaland. That's where you need Drogba. That's where you need De Bruyne. You need that. You need some killers there. But you know what you need is a number nine. I said Arsenal don't have a number nine. Just a finisher. Like Trossard's not a striker. He's a good finisher for a winger. But you need a fox in the box. You need Ollie Watkins. That's who you need. He's not doing mucking around. Dominic Solanke, they're not mucking around outside the box. Get in the box, and when you have to, because really why you need a specialist there, not for when things are going well, that's when Martinelli and Saka, everyone's scoring. But when it gets tight, like Aston Villa, those low percentage chances, you need a guy to finish it, to be ice cold. And Trossard, poor miss. Poor miss. But that's where you need a number nine. You need somebody ruthless there. And they don't have it. As for Liverpool, it's all over. They performed a miracle just here. They've choked. Man City will win the league. And that's that. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is that. They're a machine. They are a machine. Just address one thing quick. Everyone says, is the Premier League becoming a farmer's league? It's not. Because it's not like Bayern Munich won it 11 times in a row, and sometimes they're winning it by like 15 points. That's not what's been happening. Not with Jurgen, not with when he came in, Antonio Conte. Remember, Antonio Conte won the league with Pep in the league. So although they are winning it, it's not like La Liga, where it's two clubs only ever. You know? It's not Serie A when Juventus were fixing all the matches. It's not a Farmers League. Farmers League is France and Germany. Right? That's Farmers League. 11 years in a row by Munich. Come on. Now, it's going to be what? 5-6 when City win it. But even then, it's so close every year. There's two or three in the mix every year. Farmers League is France, where it's hysterical, the disparity. There's PSG and what? Those are Farmers League. That's a joke. And people say, yeah, but Lille won the league. I'm like, yeah, because PSG are a joke. But Bayern Munich, come on. And I'm a Bayern Munich fan, by the way. Like, my hero, one of my heroes, Stefan Effenberg, played for München. But come on. Premier League is the creme de la creme. City have built a juggernaut. It's a convergence of great planning and top five manager of all time. That's all it is. Not a Farmers League. Stop that talk. And it's not because I'm biased to the Premier League. It's a real competition every single year. It really is. All right. I think we'll end it off on that. Love to hear your thoughts. Hope you have an incredible week. My name is MKT. For today, that's it. Chelsea play tomorrow. Oh my God. Be a nightmare. You know, I've had a good weekend. Chelsea didn't play. Ruined my weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the MKT Show. My name is MKT. And for now, I am the hell out of here.